Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm here to talk to you about a topic that's actually quite near and dear to my heart. And it's something that we don't hear about or talk much about in our healthcare circles, and that is letting go of limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are a big factor in keeping you from reaching the level of health that you deserve. So the title of this presentation is Let Go of Limiting Beliefs and Reclaim Your Energy. It's amazing as we start to dissect these limiting beliefs, how much they're zapping your energy, how much energy and time it actually takes to keep these limiting beliefs alive and to live within the bounds that these limiting beliefs put you. So let's get started. And before we begin, I just want to make sure that anything I'm talking about here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a medical doctor or a medical practitioner of any kind. It's not medical advice. I'm just sharing from my experience and my expertise and the clinical cases that I've worked with to you to just open up some different ways of thinking about things. But if you are under the care of a practitioner and you have specific conditions or are on medication, just make sure that anything I share with you, you bounce off your practitioner before you begin. So with that said, let's start with one of the things I love to talk about, which is the concept of head-heart habits. Here's the deal. Like, if you go about and decide that, hey, I'm going to improve my health, and I've heard that eating this or not eating that or taking this particular supplement or doing this particular exercise is going to help, and you just jump right in and start to make changes, start to try to change the habits before you change your thought process about it and your feelings about it, you may find yourself frustrated and having a hard time making those new habits stick. So what I believe is we start with the head and we shift the heart, and then the habits will naturally flow. So let's talk about why that is. Well, once, experience plus belief equals thoughts. So your thoughts are not just random things that occur in your brain. They're based on things you've experienced in the past and your beliefs. What you believe about life, about people, about relationships, about all different things. And those beliefs, we'll talk about more, come from all different places. But when you have a certain set of experience and a certain set of beliefs, that creates your thoughts. So if you look out the window and it's raining out and you think, oh my God, it's raining out. What a horrible thing. It's going to ruin my day. That's a set of experiences that says, well, rain is bad, and if it's raining out, then I can't have a good time. And maybe it's based on an experience of having had a planned picnic or excursion canceled because of rain. So experience plus your belief equals your thoughts. Huh, I'm going to have a bad day because it's raining out. Whereas you can also look out the window and see that it's raining and say, wow, what a great day. It's raining out. And that would be a thought. What would that thought be based on? Well, it certainly would be based on a different set of experiences and beliefs than the one we talked about first. It may be, oh, wow, when it rains, the flowers and the grass all get nourishment and they grow. Or my vegetable garden is going to get nourished and grow. Oh, wow, that's a good thing. And maybe it's based on an experience of having had, you know, a really great time on a rainy day and going out and jumping in puddles when you were a little kid. But your experience plus your beliefs led to that thought. And the thing is, we can change our thoughts and the thoughts that pop into our head instantaneously by working on changing the beliefs. We can't really change our experiences, although there are ways to trick your mind into thinking that you've had certain experience, that you can change your memory of those things or you could relive them in a different way. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're going to be talking about being able to change your beliefs so you can change your thoughts. And here's the deal. When you have certain thoughts, they'll trigger the emotions. So the thought may come into your head, oh, it's raining. I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, Z, which triggers a thought, a feeling. Oh, I'm sad. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. The thought triggered the emotion. Emotions and thoughts are nothing more than energy. There's these firing of nerve impulses that take those impulses from one part of the body to another, and we perceive them as particular emotions and particular thoughts. But they're really just buckets of energy. The thing is about emotions, they can either benefit or harm your physiology because they trigger a series of molecular changes. So if you experience fear, your body is going to react in a certain way. It's going to trigger certain hormones and neurotransmitters that help you to get away from the dangerous or perceived dangerous situation. And those molecular changes are real. Biochemical changes, changes we can measure by measuring blood and urine and saliva. And when you have those emotions triggering those molecular changes, your body responds in a certain way. So if it's fear and frustration and anger, you can have negative effects on your physiology. Maybe short-term benefits, which causes you to get away from harm, but long-term, it can lead to damage. Whereas if the emotions that you're experiencing are joy and exhilaration and anticipation and love, it's going to trigger a whole different set of molecular changes. And what's really empowering is to understand that we can control the molecular changes that happen in our bodies just by changing our thoughts and emotions and going backwards from there and changing beliefs. When you have beliefs that are limiting you, it's going to end up triggering a set of molecular changes that are not good for your body. But when you get your head and your heart aligned, you can create these beneficial habits that can replace old destructive ones. So if you're feeling like, darn, I've got to go on this diet or do this exercise to get better, and I'm just real frustrated and it's not fair, and you start making these habit changes, they're going to be short-lived because you're not deeply committed and glad that you get to make them. You feel like you have to make them rather than you get to make them. So let's just delve into some ways that we can help you to change some of the beliefs that will help to change the thoughts and then the emotions, which will create a whole new set of molecular changes that are more beneficial to you. So let's just take a step back and say, what are some of the major causes of stress and illness? And I put limiting beliefs at the very top. And we're going to go delve into the limiting beliefs in a little bit more deeply. It's also, though, living out of alignment with your core values. So if you value connection and you value times with family members and loved ones, and you're working like 20 hours a day and not spending time with those people you love, that's living out of alignment with your core values. And that's going to lead to distress in your body. It can lead to illness. And I put illness on here, and you may say, wait a minute, you said what are the major causes of stress and illness? The reason I put illness on there is because illness can breed illness. So if you have a particular illness, say you get a cold or flu, that's a source of stress on your body. And then if you allow the stress to go unaltered, if you don't get in and intervene with the stress, it can cause you to have more illness. So if you get frustrated and angry about having this illness, or you have this illness and it's causing a stress, but you don't take care of the illness, it's going to breed further illness. So illness is actually a cause of stress and illness. Injuries, you know, get into a car accident, trip and fall, break your arm, source of stress, major stress. And if you don't have techniques in place to manage and control and transform that stress and prevent it from creating havoc in your body and your biochemistry, that injury can lead to illness. Career and lifestyle changes, those top the list. So if you've moved or you've changed careers or you've got married or gotten divorced, these things are major causes of stress. And again, without the proper intervention and techniques to manage that, can lead to illness. Finances are another one, you know, or your response to your finances. When people perceive themselves in a financial bind and feel trapped, that's a source of stress, which can lead to illness. And certainly relationships, whether it be with a significant other, with your children, with parents, with coworkers, relationships can be a source of stress and illness. They can also be a source of joy, but they can be a source of stress. And then world events, depending on how you take those in. If you spend a lot of time listening to the news and watching the news on TV and getting wrapped up and getting all upset about other people's hardships, that can cause stress and illness. And I'm not saying not to be empathetic or sympathetic. It's more likely the best choice of word there would be compassionate. So you can do something, you know, contribute to causes and keep yourself abreast. But when you get yourself just enmeshed in every single bad event that's happening around you, it can cause stress and eventual illness. So it's really an important thing to learn to separate from that. So let's just pick the one at the top because that's what this presentation is about. And let's go deeper into limiting beliefs. So what are some common limiting beliefs? I'm sure you've said some of these or felt some of these or believed some of these and maybe still do. And maybe many of these. And these aren't all of them. There's lots more. But these are just common ones that I hear. I can't. I can't do that. I can't do that because. I can't do that because I don't have the time. I can't do that because I don't have the money. I can't do that because I don't have the skill. Can't do that because I'm too fat, too thin, too ugly. I can't. It's a limiting belief. I am not yet able to. I remember having a conversation in a hot tub with a four or five-year-old years ago. And I was sitting in the hot tub and we were talking about something, swimming and activities. And I said, so are you a good swimmer? Do you know how to swim? Or maybe it was tumbling. I don't remember the exact conversation, but I asked her about something that she did not yet know how to do. And instead of saying to me, oh, I can't do that, or I don't know how to do that, she said, I haven't learned that yet, but I'm going to work on that. It was like such an empowering way for a little kid to talk. She didn't say I can't. So I can't is a limiting belief. I shouldn't. Oh, I shouldn't spend too much money. Oh, I shouldn't buy that new car. I shouldn't stay out late. I shouldn't. I mustn't. Shouldn't and mustn't. Similar. I mustn't. Here's another one I hear all the time. I'm not good enough. And also, I'm not smart enough. And I'm not something enough, fill in the blank, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough. They're limiting beliefs. And when you believe that and you keep stating it, you keep getting enmeshed in that. And when you don't change that, it limits you in what you're doing. I'm too shy. I hear that all the time. No, how do you get up on stage and talk to all those people? I couldn't do that. I'm too shy. And I remember talking through a cousin of mine, and we were actually at a funeral, and I was going to get up and do a talk. It was my sister's funeral, and her brother was going to get up and read a letter from their sister. And it was interesting because we had this conversation right before going in, and she said to me, how could you do that? I could never do that. My brother's going to do that, and you can do that, but I can't do that. I'm too shy. I said, really? So we started talking, and I just kind of dissected. I asked questions, and I dissected it. And she just smiled, and that was it. And so we went inside, and when it came time to do the talk, I got to the end of mine, and I said, and my cousin is going to share some thoughts from his sister who couldn't be here, who really wanted to share her thoughts. And I go, you know, to point, and who comes up on the front but her, my cousin who I'd spoken to, not her brother, who was supposed to do it. And she just whispered, he said he couldn't do it, he had to have me do it. And I just, you know, was there with her. I said, I know you can do this. And she did. She made it all the way through to probably the last line. And then she was just very emotional and choked up. And the tears kept her from doing it. And she handed the paper to me and I finished it. She shifted that really quickly, didn't she? From a no, I can't do that. I'm too shy. I can't, and I'm too shy. To she did it. She did it because she felt like, wow, this is really important, and my brother's not going to do this, and somebody has to do this. She did it. Okay, you can overcome these things really quickly. The other one I'm going to break apart, which I believe is a limiting belief, is I'm sick. People latch on to their illnesses. I'm sick. I have fibromyalgia. I have chronic fatigue. No, I can't do that. I have chronic fatigue. I can't do that because of my rheumatoid arthritis. I can't do that because of my illness. My illness. I'm sick. My illness. I'm sick. And we take on these limiting beliefs. We take on these things that really we shouldn't be taking on. Yes, maybe you have symptoms that would lead to someone diagnosing you with a particular illness. But don't take it on as your identity. It's just a temporary thing. It's just a phase. It's not yours. I'm sick. Ownership. If I feel like a cold is coming on and I'm working on getting it out of there with vitamin C and zinc and echinacea, whatever else I might take, I'm not saying I'm sick. I'm saying, this little cold is trying to get a hold of me. And I'm not going to let it. I won't say I'm sick. Here's another one that holds people back big time. Money is evil. Money is the root of all evil. We heard that. I heard that growing up all the time. Rich people are bad. You know, poverty is the way to God. That's a bunch of limiting beliefs. There are some amazing things you can do when you have the money to do it. You can share. You can care. Money's not evil. It's how some people use it that's evil. It's when people get greedy that maybe that's evil. But wanting to earn money and make a good living is not evil. It's a limiting belief. I'm weak. No, I can't lift that. I'm weak. I can't do that. I'm weak. What about if you said, I am getting stronger every day? You know, after I broke my arm and I had to have surgery and it was really thin and frail, people would ask me about it. And I'd say, look, I can almost straighten it, even though it was just still not quite there. Look at this. It's getting stronger every day. I'm working on it. I wasn't going to say I'm weak. Yeah, I was weaker on one side than the other. Absolutely. I'm not taking the identity on. I'm not believing that I'm weak. I'm not letting that hold me back. Some others related to relationships. If I get too close, I might get hurt. I might get rejected. And that holds people back from being intimate and sharing their feelings. They're limiting beliefs, and they can be shifted. And we're going to talk about how we can shift some of these. Here's another one. I can't trust people. I hear that all the time. After somebody's gotten out of a bad relationship, I can't trust people. And that limits their ability to have successful and intimate and caring relationships. Success takes sacrifice. Oh, I don't want to, you know, get successful. I don't want to create a successful business. I don't want to rise in my career because that's going to take sacrifice. Yeah, it takes work, but it doesn't have to be negative. It can be exhilarating. And here's one that I hear all the time, and it limits people in their health, is self-care. Is selfish. I can't take care of myself. I can't go exercise. I can't go to the gym. I can't, you know, take time to make my special meals because then I would be taking away from other people. That's selfish of me. It's selfish of me to want to make myself special food when the rest of the family doesn't want to eat that way. It's selfish of me to go to the gym or to take time to take a bath or take care of me. And that can't be further from the truth. It's a limiting belief. You can't take care of anybody unless you take care of you first. Self-care is the ultimate unselfish act. Ultimate unselfish act. There's more. And what I would encourage you to do right now is to stop this recording and just make a list of some of your common limiting beliefs. What are some of those beliefs that are holding you back? Go ahead and stop the tape and make a list. Make sure there's at least five because everybody has them. And just get in touch with what they are. And if they just keep coming, just keep writing until you're done and then turn it back on. All right, so welcome back. So by now you should have a nice a list of what are some of those beliefs that you feel are holding you back, those limiting beliefs. We're going to take you through a process to get rid of them. First of all, I want to talk about where do these come from, right? Where do we get these limiting beliefs? Where do we get the I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, money is bad? Lots of places they come from. Big time, your family. Now, there's certain limiting beliefs that entire families hold. Other ones come from the culture, right? Different religious cultures, different ethnic cultures have different sets of beliefs, you know, about humbleness, about, you know, not like being a woman and not stepping out because you're a woman. Those are some cultural things, you know. Believing that your role is to take care of others. A lot of those come from cultures. You know, women shouldn't do this. Men shouldn't do that. Men shouldn't cry. It's bad for men to cry. It's bad for women to leave the home and have a job. You know, women should be the caretakers. Men should be the breadwinners. Things like, you know, some cultures, it's not okay for women to show their faces in public because the limiting belief is that that's a bad thing to do, that it's a sexual crossing lines thing that only their husband should see. I mean, there's all kinds of cultural limiting beliefs. Media. Well, yeah, thin is in, got to be thin like those models, right? I'm too fat is one that people get, even though they're not, because they don't live up to the standards on the media. Community, same thing. Whole communities can hold sets of beliefs. The same as religious institutions. There's a lot of limiting beliefs in religious institutions. And they're big, they're embedded, they're ingrained. And there's a lot of guilt around maybe letting go of some of those limiting beliefs and identifying what those are. And then your experience is created. You know, a lot of the things around not trusting people or feeling like, you know, men are evil. They're out to just get us and women should stay away from them. And I mean, there's all kinds of things that come from your experiences. So these are where they come from. So let's talk a little bit about what we can do about these limiting beliefs. So there's a number of different processes. And I wanted to share the term make-believe. I remember when you were a kid and you would make-believe you were a fairy or a teacher or a doctor or, you know, whatever. You just made believe all the time. Belief, it's a belief, make-believe. And so we made believe. And, you know, sometimes we really felt like it was real. When we're little kids, we do feel like it's real. You can make believe. You can make new beliefs by just deciding that you're going to make new beliefs. You can take each of your beliefs and decide, this isn't serving me. What can I do differently? And you can go back and you can recreate situations in your mind where what would happen if I had this belief instead? And reinforce those beliefs. The other thing you can do is ask questions. This is a good one. This is one I learned from a dear mentor, Barry Neil Kaufman. And he wrote a book called To Love Is To Be Happy With. He wrote a number of books on this whole process. And he has this thing called a dialogue process, where you just keep asking questions. And you can do it with another person, have somebody else ask you the questions, or you can just ask yourself about those beliefs. He told a really interesting story about a woman who was, she was probably, close approaching 80, in her 70s or so. And she was sad because her grandchildren and her children had moved away to another state. And she hadn't seen them in a really long time. And he asked her, well, why don't you just go and travel to see them? She goes, I can't, I'm too scared. And he goes, scared, really? Why are you scared? Well, I'm afraid that the plane is going to crash. He said, so you're afraid of dying in a plane crash. She said, no, I'm not afraid of dying. What I'm afraid of is I'm going to die and it's going to be over water or over a big forest or something, and my body's not going to be found, and I won't be able to have a proper burial, and then I won't be accepted into the kingdom of God. So he stopped her there. He said, okay, so this is your belief. You have a belief here. You have a belief that in order to get into the kingdom of God, your body has to have a proper Catholic burial. And she said, yes. That's what I've been taught. That's what I believe. He said, okay. He said, you've been a religious woman, and you've been living according to these beliefs for all these years, and do you believe that God loves you? And she said, of course my God loves me. Of course I've been a model student. I've gone to church. I take care of other people. Yes, of course God loves me. And he says, okay, so this God that loves you, do you believe that if you did not get a proper burial because your body was lost through no fault of your own, would this God who loves you and sees you as a humble servant not honor you and bring you into his kingdom? And she said, wow, when you put it like that, no, my God wouldn't do that. He would understand that I had no control over that. So she shifted a belief. She had this limiting belief because she just didn't question it. And it was eating away at her and keeping her from reaching her, visiting her grandchildren. Well, he said over the next 6 months, he was getting postcards from her from all over the place. She was visiting her grandchildren. She was going on vacations. She was having a grand time. She was flying all over the place because he helped her to get rid of that limiting belief. So when you have a limiting belief, like, I'm not smart enough, you can say to yourself, am I not smart? What about me is not smart? Do I really believe that? So start and ask that. Do I really believe I'm not smart enough? Not smart enough for what? Do I really believe that? And just start asking questions and dissecting it down. It's an amazing process. It really helps to have someone else do it with you, because sometimes you can't see. You can't see all those different places. So you just have somebody ask me, do you really believe that? What about you makes you not smart enough? What would it be like if you were smart enough? How would that be? What would you have to do to become smart enough? You break it down. And then you practice and practice and practice the new beliefs. I'm sick becomes, I have symptoms, I'm working on improving. And I'm working on getting better every day. And you practice that. And when the limiting belief comes through, you practice the new belief. Finally, getting in touch with your dreams and your visions. What are those things? What is it that these limiting beliefs are keeping you from? And then get so attached to those dreams and visions that you do what it takes. When you see that the limiting beliefs are holding you back from what you really want, you can let them go. So I recommend that now you take a few minutes, and next to each of those limiting beliefs, think about some questions. Think about some questions you can ask yourself about those. Do you really believe them? Where did it come from? What if I let go of that? What would happen if I said, I am smart enough? What would I do differently? What would I do if I was smart enough? And then do it. And do it. What would I do if I was strong enough? And then do it. And do it. Practice it. Start small and work your way up. What would I do if I had energy? I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. What would I do if I had energy? Ask yourself questions. Ask someone for help. Let go of the limiting beliefs. The first thing to do is start by identifying them and then really breaking them apart. And I wish you everything good. When you can let go of those limiting beliefs, the horizon is bright with promise. Your health will improve dramatically. Make believe. Take those limiting beliefs and write a more empowered belief and make believe that's so. What would it be like if that was so? And just go for it and reach for the stars. I'm here to support you. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo. good luck in letting go of your limiting beliefs.